would like to thank Karen and Jacob Levitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn, Leiloi Nisma, Stay Flood, Parents of Leal, Ben Abba, and Lebas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua Ben Shimon Dov, their Nishamas at Avon Aliyah. Okay, we are in the middle of Chapter 4, Mishnah Yud Aleph. We are going to reread the first two parts of the Mishnah, which are going to help us transition to this morning's shiur, which is the third part of the Mishnah. So if you remember from last week, source number one, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Ha'osa mitzvah achas kona lo proklet echad. Somebody who does one good deed acquires a single defender. Va'over avera achas kona lo kategor echad. Someone who does a single sin acquires a single prosecutor. And we discussed last week at length what these are a metaphor for, or are they meant to be taken literal from a mystical sense, or is it just a message about habit? Go back to last week on Wayu Torah if you want to listen to it. But today we're going to focus on C, the third part, which is Tshuva Umaisim Tovim Kisris Bifnei HaPuranos. Repentance and good deeds are a shield against punishment. So what we're going to focus on today is a broad question as to how Tshuva works. What's the difference between Tshuva and Masim Tovim? Are they together? Is there an overlap? Are they separate? Does one work without the other? Do you need both in order to protect you from this Puranos? What is Puranos? What is punishment? Punishment for the sin? General punishment? Bad things? Anxiety? What exactly is going on when we're talking about Puranos? And how does Tshuva and Masim Tovim protect us from that? So let's jump into the sources. Let's start with the Rambam. The Rambam here says, "V'amar ki atshuva acharei masim ra'im, o masim tovim milachatchila." So the Rambam tells us that when it says tshuva o masim tovim, it means either or. It's not that you need tshuva and masim tovim. Either tshuva if you have sinned previously, or just masim tovim milachatchila. Just start off doing good, and that's going to help you from Puranos. Now, there's a lot loaded into this statement, although the Rambam doesn't make it clear. If you sit back and analyze, what exactly is he talking about? He seems to be equating, if our goal in the Mishnah is to prevent Puranos, punishment, the Rambam seems to be assuming and equating, putting on equal standing, both if I have sinned and done tshuva, as well as if I have not sinned and I'm just doing good stuff. What's inherent in that comparison? He seems to be equating the two. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't I have more if I didn't sin in the first place? He seems to be saying that they're on equal footing if I have sinned and done tshuva, or I just did my simtovim. So we'll see it, we'll elaborate on it in a second, but there's another question here. If I have just done my simtovim, what puranios are we talking about? What puranos? What bad things are supposed to be coming? If we're going to understand puranos as punishment for a sin, well, I haven't sinned. So what are we talking about? Because within the Rambam, there's a bunch of different assumptions that we're going to have to peel apart as we go through the commentators. But the Rambam says it's either tshuva after I've done something wrong, or ma'isim tovim milachatchila, from the starting point. Kol echad mishnei matzavim elu, either one of these two, moneya kol apuranios ve'apagayim al adam, either one of these two can help you from experiencing negative things in life. Okay, so that's how the Rambam explains it. So we're going to see the other commentators are going to elaborate on it, but yeah, Freddie, start us off.
Is it important that Masa Tovim will negate any possible punishment?
Okay, so that's another question. Is whether Tshuva or Masim Tovim are going to take away any level of punishment? Let's say punishment meant for the sin. So does Tshuva and Masim Tovim take away all punishment? Is it like a get-out-of-jail-free card? Nothing happens to me if I do tshuva and ma'isim tovim? I think we think about tshuva that way. If I do tshuva, then I'm protected. I think it helps us with our anxiety to some extent. But if I do tshuva, I'm good. I always have that opportunity that I'm not going to get punished. But is that true? Just doing tshuva, does that take away any punishment? Is that what he means here in the Mishnah? Okay, so good. Okay, so we have to, maybe there are different lasers going in a good direction here. Maybe there's different levels and layers of tshuva. So we're going to have to see that, as well as what does Ma'isim Tovim actually mean? What's Ma'isim Tovim? Is Ma'isim Tovim any mitzvot? Is Ma'isim Tovim good deeds, as it were? What does that mean, good deeds? How many good deeds? Right. So all these things are good questions to be asking, and we're going to get much more nuanced as we keep going. So let's see source number 3 with all these questions in mind. Rav Matisyahu Yitzhari writes as follows. Lefichach, sadku divrei ze'achacham, sha'osa mitzvah achas yeslo melitz echad lahagino min ha'yisurin ulatzilo mehir averos. So he's combining the first part of the Mishnah, which we did last week, and this week's part of the Mishnah, that by doing one mitzvah, I have some guardian who's going to say good things about me to God, let's say, in Shemayim. And it's also this guy, this protector, is going to protect me from any level of suffering, as well as protecting me from hirhur averos, which is thinking about doing sins. So by me doing mitzvos, that protects me from pain and suffering, as well as protects me from then thinking about doing other sins. And he continues, va'over avera yeslo milamed chova, and if I do a sin, then I'm going to have the prosecutor come against me. Lefisha avera mechabez chus mitzvah shekvar asa. So he says a loaded statement here, which we're going to skim over. We said something differently last week from a different commentator, but he says, by doing an avera, that covers the merit of a mitzvah that you've already done. I'm not sure that's true. Last week we saw somebody who said that even though we seem to be saying you do something good, you get a defender, you do something bad, you get a prosecutor, it doesn't mean that those things cancel each other out. The point is that each one stands independently. You get rewarded for what you do well, and you get punished for what you don't do well. Here he seems to be saying that by doing an avera, that cancels out the merit of a mitzvah. So we're going to sidestep that for now and just leave it as a question. And then, he continues, lo on mitzvah she'aseh achar kein, she'kibin she'oseh mitzvah l'shem shemayim, ein safek she'hira tshuva b'libos. Now he says, this is the ma'isim tovim that we're talking about. If I start doing good things after I sin, so if I sin, it cancels out what I did in the past, somehow. And then if I do something good now, then that's what tshuva ma'isim tovim means. So why is the ma'isim tovim now going to help protect me if I did something bad? So he says, "Ain." Read that line again. "Ain suffik." Third line in source number 3. Shehir her tshuva belibo. So if I've done this, is a nice assumption here. If I've done something wrong, and then I do something positive afterwards, so he's assuming that the fact that I'm doing something positive is assuming in that action that I've done tshuva for what I've done negatively in the past. Right? At least I've thought about it. That by me doing something positive now, I'm automatically, either consciously or subconsciously, if you will, erasing the bad thing that I've done in the past. I've done tshuva. The tshuva belev kol shekein basmada samaisim tovim ein safek shem ketris bifnei aparanos. So he says tshuva belev means, even if I just do tshuva in my heart, meaning internally, I don't actually do anything differently externally, that's enough. But he says, all the more so if I do tshuva internally, and then as well increase my external actions, that's tshuva and ma'isim tovim, two separate things, then that's going to protect me from these damages. So we still have to discuss, and he's going to get into it in a second, is how exactly does tshuva ma'isim tovim protect from damages. But first he's going to talk about the Rambam. Remember, we just read the Rambam previously, who said it's either tshuva after bad things or ma'isim tovim just from the starting point. So in the second paragraph, in source number 3, he says, V'aram, which is the Rambam, perish tshuva achar ma'isim ra'im, u'ma'isim tovim mitchilaso. Tshuva, that comes after bad actions, or ma'isim tovim, from the starting point. Shnei emonim min makos v'choloim shi'avulo. Both of these protect us from sicknesses and punishments. V'nir lefizeh shehu nimshach achar ma'asha amar, v'makum shebali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim omdim. So the Rav Matisyahu Yitzhari is explaining that the Rambam must be holding that it is better to be a Baal Tshuva than to be a Tzadik Gemur. This is a famous discussion and dispute. Is it better to be somebody who has sinned and then has improved, done Tshuva based on that? Is that a higher level, as it were? Or is it better to be somebody who's never sinned in the first place and is just a complete Tzadik from birth to end? So there's a debate in the Gemara, and there's depth of analysis as to what exactly the debate is. But for the starting point, for just as a surface level, he is assuming based on the Rambam, because remember, it's not fair. It's not what the Rambam is saying is either I've done something wrong, and I've done tshuva, that's going to help me, or I've just been good the entire time. So the people who have just been good the entire time, it sounds like they should get a higher status. They should get more for what they've done, because they haven't done anything wrong. But yet the Rambam seems to be equating them together. Is that I've either done something wrong and now I've improved, or I've done something awesome from the starting point. No, if I've done something awesome from the starting point, I should get more than just this. But the Rambam seems to be saying, no, you're on the same level. So therefore, he's assuming that the Rambam is going along with the opinion that it is better, it's a higher level, and that's why he's equated, it's a higher level to do tshuva after doing something wrong than just doing things that are great from the starting point. Is that clear-ish? Right? The fact that the Rambam is putting them together means that he likes it better if you've done something wrong and then you've done tshuva. Now, that doesn't mean that you should go out and do something wrong in order that you should do tshuva. But the assumption is that most people have done something wrong. And because of that, if you can improve on that, that's a higher level than somebody just like, you know, from in utero has been a tzadik gamur. So that's what his assumption is. V'zeh b'tshuva nifla atzuma. So now he's getting to what Lazer said. There's different levels of tshuva. We're talking about tshuva nifla'a atzuma, which is like a great and awesome and amazing type of tshuva. We're not talking about lower level, quick, cursory, you know, tshuva without any feeling or emotion. And therefore, we're saying that all of these are, you know, both of these are protective factors against punishment and suffering. Yet, we have not yet seen what punishment and suffering we're talking about. And that's what he's going to get about in the third paragraph. So he says here, Uvein l'ferushe she'amarti tshuva b'lev. Whether you go by me, which is tshuva b'lev, my opinion is that you're just doing tshuva. Kisha os achar kach eza mitzvah. Bein l'feres ha-rambam sheperes tshuva achar ma'isim ra'im. So he disagrees with the Rambam. He says that the Rambam says it's tshuva after you do something bad, and then you do something good. He doesn't think that's necessary. It's that you just did tshuva b'lev, and then you do some mitzvah. It doesn't matter. They debate about that. But either way, no matter what you explain this Mishnah is talking about, here's the problem. What about the Gemara in Yuma that says as follows? So he says, Ein lahak, so don't ask, meaning you should ask, but I'm going to explain to you why you shouldn't ask. But Ein lahak, so don't ask from the Gemara in Yuma. What does the Gemara in Yuma say? Mimasha amar perak Yom HaKippurim, Avar al krisos umisos based in Chu of Yom HaKippurim, Tolin b'Yisurim mimrakin. So the Gemara says that if you do an Avera, that the violation warrants a punishment of kares, which is debatable exactly what it means, but basically your life gets ended early, or misos based in, that you are culpable of getting punished through death by based in. So if those things happen, then tshuva and Yom Kippur put you in abeyance, meaning that you don't get complete atonement, and you get the atonement when you have suffering. So what's our problem? We just told you in our Mishnah that if you do tshuva and ma'isim tovim, you're good, you're clean. But the Gemara says if you do, now, these are pretty serious sins, but if you do these sins, you're not clean. There's still some level of suffering and punishment that you need to go through in order to get your atonement. So he says, v'im kain, ein ha-tshuva kitris, trei yisurim ba'in lamarik. You can't tell me that tshuva is a shield if you're telling me that you're going to be punished. It's not a shield. I'm going to be punished. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, you get punished for your sins. So don't ask from that Gemara. So the Gemara says, you have to get punished, you have to suffer in order to get cleaned. Our Mishnah seems to be saying, the Tshuva Ma'isim Tovim act as a protector against these. So why shouldn't I ask from that Gemara? Isn't that a strong question? So what's the answer? Okay, good. We'll see that inside in a second.
According to the law, you have to suffer. Isn't the
If you suffer by so that death does act as some level of atonement, yeah. But that itself is, meaning if that's what you need for the atonement, then that's not tshuva, ma'is, and tovim.
Right. Yeah.
So there is a chance, right, there is a chance to get clean, but with the suffering. Our Mishnah seems to be saying you don't need the suffering, you get clean no matter what. So as Fred just said, Shakavanahi, we're in the third source, third line from the third paragraph towards the end. Shakavanahi ba'amro kitris, what does it mean, a shield? Mashakivnu sham ba'amru tolid. Kitris, a shield, means that you're held in abeyance. Meaning, Sherot Selomar Tolan Shalya Abdu Vlo Yikalogam, you're not going to be completely destroyed. Right? If you're fighting in a war and you have a shield, does that mean that you're protected completely? No. You can still get hurt. Somebody can slice your leg, right? Or you know, there's still damage, there's still suffering, there's still pain. Shayisurin Yuba Ofen Shiyechupar Avonam via Suvalikadmosam Alumalasam Hakobashikulo Shal Keldeos Vaklalhu Shal Yelchula Abdom. So he's saying here, don't think that our Mishnah is telling you that you get a free pass the second you do tshuva, ma'isim, tovim. Depending on what you did, there might still be suffering and pain as a punishment that comes along with that, because all a shield means is it protects you from total annihilation and destruction. But you're still going to have to suffer a little bit. So that's what it means, Kitris. So the message of the Mishnah isn't as all-encompassing and positive as we might think, because we have to take into account other considerations, that there is punishment, and there's no escaping some level of punishment. You can decrease the punishment by doing tshuva, ma'isim, tovim. You can make it more, less extreme and less dangerous, but you can't totally escape it. He's saying whether me or the Rambam. Doesn't matter. This is just generally in the Mishnah. Doesn't matter whether you go by the Rambam or by him. And then he says, fourth paragraph, another possibility, and this I think lays is what you're referring to. So it could be that we're talking about distinctions in level of tshuva. So you can start making distinctions between categories and levels and power of the different types of tshuva that you do. One distinction could be from tshuva of Ava versus tshuva of Yira. If you do tshuva out of love, that's a higher level. If you do tshuva out of fear, that's a lower level. So perhaps if you do tshuva out of love, then that's going to protect you more encompassing. That might remove some of the punishments. But if you do tshuva out of fear, then that'll just give you some level of protection, but not a full protection, and then you're still going to have to go through some level of suffering and punishment. So that's how he understands both in terms of how to understand through the Rambam's approach, but as well as in terms of how do you take this Mishnah with other ideas that we have, that tshuva and ma'isim tovim are great, but they're not necessarily going to take away all of your punishment and suffering. So we have to take a step back and knock down this Mishnah from as a powerful, broad statement of protection from punishment and suffering to say, no, it's not going to be a complete protection, but it's going to be some level of protection. Yeah. Okay, so it's a good question. The question is, so you're saying that the Gemara in Yuma is talking about just tshuva. Here we're saying if you assume tshuva and ma'isim tovim are necessary, you're saying maybe that can take away the
same position that you were before.
Right. Well, that might be considered tshuva. I mean, that might not be ma'isim tovim. Me being in that same position, the Rambam talks about this, and then not doing it is tshuva. I would say that you might be saying doing tshuva and then I'm going to do a ma'isim tovim campaign where I'm going to get up and take out ads in the FJJ and without your picture and then say that you're going to let's stop the ham sandwiches. That's a different story. Maybe that's a way to distinguish between that. Gemara's talking about tshuva, this talking about tshuva and ma'isim tovim, and that might be a way around it. Chaim, and then we're going
to
keep going. Yeah.
This is Hashem's reward and punishment situation. How do we not having this hour. The idea of I do some tshuva and that will lessen the punishment. How do we determine what is the purpose of punishment? What is its main purpose in God's world? Here on earth, we know what it takes to deter. Are we to assume that it's the same thing for Hashem, that everything is a deterrent? And if that's the case, then what's this idea of, well, tshuva can take away some punishment, more punishment, without any areas that we don't have.
Right, and we don't have full understanding. I don't know if we don't have any business, but we don't have a full understanding. And that's why he ends up by saying this is all keldeos. I mean, this is all in God's hands. We don't fully understand it, but God in the Torah gives us some framework as to how reward and punishment works and how tshuva works. And then we're left up to, as part of our charge of understanding and trying to fully grasp Torah with the acknowledgement that we're never going to fully grasp everything, to try to understand how the system generally works by putting together all the sources that we have in Chumash, in Tanakh, in Gemaras, in Torah Shabbat Peh, and trying to put it all together. At the end of the day, are we going to have a full, clear picture of how all this works? No. But we're hopefully going to get somewhere. Okay, now, source number four. The Maharal says something slightly differently, which I think we might be reading too much into what he's saying, but you can judge that. So Maharal, source number four, says Yesh Makshim Al Zeh Shamar Kan Shuv Ma'isim Tovim Ketris B'Pnei Apurano. So some ask, right? It's funny if you read carefully how different commentaries speak, how they write, you'll see they have different styles. So if you remember in the Matasyahu Yitzhari, he says Ve'ein Lahakshos. Don't ask on this Gemara. So the Maharal asks the same question, but basically frames it differently. He says, V'yesh makshim al zeh. There are those who ask, then presents the question, and then provides an answer. Rav Matisyahu says, don't ask this question, and then provides the answer. So it's just interesting, different styles. Like you have different teachers who teach different ways. Different Sfarim have different styles of how they talk. So V'yesh makshim, there are those who ask, from the Gemara in Yuma that says, Tshuva tolav yisurim merakim. Second line, Vimkain Aina Chuba Katrish Are Surum Bain Allah. How can you say it's a protector? I'm still gonna get punished. Ubivadai Kushya Shal Kumhi. He still doesn't let it go that. He says it's not a question. Not just that it's not a question, it's a baseless question. Right? Why is it a baseless question? So this is how he distinguishes. Kisham Midaber Bipurano Shemevia Shemis Barach Al Yedei Hachet. Shekevan Shachet Yesh Allah Onesh Mitzad Maisa Hachet. He says, there in the Gemara, where it says that there's going to be consequences, is because there are consequences that come inherently from the sin. The sin itself has within it direct consequences. Now, I'm going to help us understand this by saying something that I'm not sure the Maharal is saying, but we'll say it anyway just to understand it. As we've spoke about last week and in previous weeks, when I eat something that I'm not supposed to eat, there might be direct health consequences for that action. So what are you going to say? Doing tshuva and ma'isim tovim is going to take the calories away, right? It's not. You have the calories. Or if I have done something that is, the Gemara talks about with David. Did David sin? Did David not sin? And then the Gemara says, what do you mean, didn't he sin? Like, there was a kid that came from that interaction. You can't say that it didn't. Like, there's some situations where there's a direct cause and consequence of your sin that you can't get around. This thing happened, just because you do tshuva ma'aseh tovim doesn't erase that. So, I'm going to assume that's what the Maharal is talking about, although he might not be talking about that. But there's a direct consequence from the sin. Right? If I have already a cut, a shield's not going to help from a cut. I already have the cut. So what's the shield going to do? Aval, end of the third line in source number four, beginning of the fourth line now. Aval hatris magin kasher bab mi bachutz al ha'adam. What does a shield do? A shield doesn't help protect you from internal diseases. If you have an internal disease, a shield's not going to help you. If something's coming from the outside, then a shield can protect you. V'kach kasher puranos ba mitzad ha'chutz shalom min ha'chet ha'adam atzmo. If there's something external that's happening, that's nothing to do with my sin, but there's some problem on the outside, there's some danger in the streets that has nothing to do with what I did per se, then tshuva and ma'isim tovim is going to protect me from the external issue. Dekayim alam di yesh yisurin below avam. It's a very powerful question. Is there suffering without sin? There's a dispute in the Gemara. And we paskin that yes, there is paskin. I mean, it's not halacha, but we assume that yes, you can suffer even not as a direct consequence of sin. So when it comes to me sinning, the punishment that comes as a direct consequence of that sin, I can't get around. That's going to happen. And that's what the Gemara and Yuma's talking about. Our Mishnah that says, by doing tshuva, ma'isim tovim, that serves as a shield, what's that talking about? Things that might happen external to me that are not my fault, but by me doing tshuva, ma'isim tovim, I have a better shot at having a shield protect me from those bad things that are happening. Right, so Puranut is... Correct. So now if you go back to our Mishnah, Puranut in the Mishnah, they translate it in English as punishment. We might disagree and say it's not punishment. That's how some commentators might have understood it until now. But the way the Maharal is understanding it's not punishment. It's external, not even consequences. It's external happenings, circumstances that are coming from the outside that may harm me. Because things can harm me even if I don't necessarily, quote-unquote, deserve it. There could be yisurin that come out even if I don't deserve it, which we're going to elaborate on shortly. And by me doing tshuva ma'isim tovim, that can help protect me a little bit more from that. Now, keep in mind, there's no guarantee even with this. Right? What we're saying is that tshuva ma'isim tovim can act as a shield, and as we'll see, hopefully if we have time towards the end, you know, we'll have to analyze the metaphor of the shield. As we've alluded to until this point, people with shields still get hurt, right? And people with shields, you can have a shield, and the nuclear bomb goes off, the shield's not helping you, right? So there's shields only go so far, but they do add an extra level of protection. So that's how the Maharal understands it. He keeps going, but we'll skip that for now. Go to source number 5, Tosos Yom Tov. Source 5 and 6 are going to get pretty deep and pretty heavy, let's call it, in terms of how you understand punishments and where they come from, and do you get punished for things that aren't necessarily that you deserve, and how, you know, this is a heavy subject, so just keep that in mind as we go through sources 5 and 6. Hopefully, we'll try to lighten it up afterwards. So source number 5, Tosos Yom Tov. Bifnei HaPuranos. So he says, Ve'ein lahakshos. So he goes back to the don't ask. They're all asking the same question. What about this Gemara in Yuma that says that you still get punished even if you do tshuva? So he says, Ve'ein lahakshos, don't ask, Mashaba perk basra de Yuma, tshuva v'yom kerim tov, yisur merakin. Don't ask from that Gemara that says that you still get punished and you're still suffering. Ki akavana ba'amro kan, here in our Mishnah where it says, Kitris, hu mashekivnu sham ba'amram tolin, shehu shelo yifsadu v'lo ya'avdu anashim legamre, sheisurim ba b'inyan shiachu baravonam v'yashuvu l'kadmus ma'alazim. So as we saw in Rav Matisyahu Yitzhari, he explains that it doesn't mean that this shield in our Mishnah doesn't mean a complete protection and avoidance of any level of suffering. It's just going to protect you a little bit so that you can then eventually get better by doing your tshuva ma'isim tovim over time, but you still have some level of suffering and punishment. Kifi shikulo shel keldeos, as God, it's all in His accounting, we don't fully get it. The purpose is in order not to completely get destroyed, and that's the Medrash Shmuel b'shem ha'ri. Fine. And we saw that in Ramat Tzayi Tzari, but now he goes in second paragraph, source number 5. The li nirad du puranos de masnisin lavid puranos haba al chet. So he says, this puranos, this suffering that we're talking about in the Mishnah, is not talking about puranos that comes from a sin. Ela bi puranos viraos hamisragshos uvaos kefimin hagos shel olam. So like the Maharal, he says that we're talking about external problems, not from the sin, but that come from the outside world. V'teda shekenhu. And now he brings, the reason we're doing this, even though as of this point he said the same thing in the first paragraph as Rav Matisyahu, sorry, and so far in the second paragraph he said the same thing as the Maharal. So why are we doing this? Because look what he does. He says, you have to say this. Why do you have to say this? Because he goes back to the Rambam. De'ilo te'mahafi, ma'isim tovim sheperish ha-Rambam, betchilas ha-inyan, kelomar shelo chata, vihachi malo kitris, kevin shelo chata, ve'en alav onesh, uperanos, Elevadai Puranos Hainu Amikrim Varos Ahovim Ba'olam. If you're going to say that we're talking about punishment, you're going to get stuck with the Rambam. Because what did the Rambam say? The Rambam said, you have two options here. We're either talking about you sinned and you did tshuva, or you didn't sin at all and you're just doing good stuff. So according to the Rambam, what punishment is there? There is no punishment. You didn't do anything wrong if you're just good from the start. So rather, it must be, when it says Puranos, what does it mean? From the outside. Not as a punishment for my sin, but as something that's external, and now by me doing tshuva maisim tovim, that acts as a shield to protect me, to suffer from some extent, from the stuff that's going on the outside. Okay, so he brings the Rambam's opinion to prove that it must be that we're not talking about punishment for a sin, it must be external things that are going on. Now, the source number six is not going to like this. Lechem Shemayim. So he says as follows. Well, not according to... Right. So, there's not necessarily a connection between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah. We did see, in Ramat Tzal Yitzhar, if you read it carefully, he does connect them together, but you don't have to. Many of these Perushim are not putting these things together, but you could if you worked hard. So now, look at source number six. Bifnei HaPuranos. So, HaMefarshim Ish L'Darko Panu B'dochkim L'Yashiv Mashi Yikshal Mishnah Senu. So he says, all the commentators, each one according to his own way, have turned to basically force themselves, meaning they didn't do a really good job at explaining these problems. Right? Everybody has the same problem. What about this Gemara that says you still get suffering? How does that fit with our mission that says that you don't get suffering? So each one had their own ideas, and you could already tell by his tone that he's not so happy with their ideas. So Mimasha Kasuv Chazal Yisur Mimarakin, from the fact that Chazal say that punishment serves as an atonement, Vitosus Yomtov, which is what we just quoted in source number 5, writes as follows, Mimasha Kasuv Asa Tzloy Agabe Tzloy, makes it even worse. Lefarish, why? Puranos Al Mikrim Viraos HaMisragshos. It's because what we just saw in the Tosos Yontov is that we're talking about external problems, external, give me a good word, environmental, external forces, crises of society, if you will, or war, external wars, nothing to do with me per se, but stuff that's going on, you know, global warming, I don't know. Bichrich zeh machmas perish Rambam. And he was forced to say this based on the Rambam's explanation that Maisim Tov, what are you getting punished for Maisim Tov? And so we saw that in source number 5. V'kfar reis v'adas, the perish Rambam, gufei lav milsi. So Lechem Shemayim starts by saying, first of all, don't start making explanations of the Mishnah based on the Rambam's explanation. Why? Because the Rambam's explanation is lav milsahi. It's nothing. Ignore it. It's wrong. Forget about the Rambam. So it takes some guts to say such things. So this is Rav Yaakov Emden, who was a strong, right? So he says, "V'lo kifi tali la v'tu d'ha v'adai mai d'charis tosas yantav l'plugei be'peranos al-chet ben mikrei aros ha'hovim ba'olam." So the fact that the tosas yantav splits between internal suffering that comes from a sin versus external suffering, fourth line now, borcha v'dusehi, it's just a joke. Because we're going according to the explanation that there is no yisurin without chet, meaning that in order to get to have suffering, it must mean that you deserved it. You sinned. So he asks a very strong question in the fifth line now. He says, so what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that you need that there has to be some level of consequence for a sin that you've done. So we're not talking about internal to what you've done to your sin, because you know we're not going to say that because the tris is going to protect you. You've done a sin, you're going to be protected. So you're going to tell me that now you're going to be punished from an external source, that the rabbim are going to be punished, because then they don't deserve it, right? The whole split to say that it's okay when stuff comes from the external world, then even if you don't deserve it, then it's going to happen. What do you mean? That's not fair. I don't deserve it. Why should I get punished? I don't deserve it. So he says here as follows. Again, fifth line, third word. And then, so you're going to tell, so it goes even stronger. So you want to say that there's external things that again, sometimes bad things happen in the world, and so something's going to, you know, I can't control everything. Something bad's going to happen, even if I'm a tzaddik. So then what did you tell me the Mishnah meant? You told me that if I do tshuva ma'isim tovim, from an external force, I'm going to be protected. What do you mean you're going to be protected? Your tshuva ma'isim tovim aren't going to protect you. Just because if there's a war going out in the world, right? Your tshuva ma'isim tovim are not going to help you necessarily. That's what he argues. So once you're saying that we're not doing a, you do something wrong, you get punished. You do something right, you get rewarded. Once we're out of that system, because there's stuff going out in the external world that we can't control, then your tshuva ma'isim tovim aren't going to protect you. There's crazy stuff going on. So just because you're a great person doesn't mean it's going to help you. So you can't tell me that's what the Mishnah means, because it presents a theological problem to say that once there's external problems going on, then your tshuva ma'isim tovim are going to protect you. You see it all the time. You have tzaddikim who do tshuva ma'isim tovim, but if there's a war going on, they're going to get hurt. So he says as follows. Again, rereading that line. It's not going to work for the most part. As the famous line says, once there was permission was given to the mashchis, to the destroyer to destroy, then all bets are off. Right? He doesn't distinguish between tzaddikim and rishayim. So then your tshuva ma'isim tovim can't protect you. So that can't be what the Mishnah means. Because we assume that the world is judged based on rov, based on the majority. And if the majority are problematic, then I don't care if you're a tzaddik, it doesn't matter, it's not going to help you. So therefore I should always look at myself half and half. We've seen this in previous Mishnayos ideas. And then you should always try to do good, try to do good, try to do good. And he goes even further. We have another concept. This is the last line in the first paragraph, that tzaddikim sometimes get punished for their generation. Right? So my tshuva ma'isim tovim, how's that going to help me? He's basically set up the system, the question as follows, which is, once you're going to talk about external problems that are coming to affect you, well, that's how the Maharal, that's how Tosfos Yom Tov got out of the discussion between the Gemara and Yuma. The Gemara and Yuma says, just a recap, the Gemara and Yuma says, you still get suffering. Our Mishnah says, once you do tshuva ma'isim tovim, you don't get suffering. So the way around that is, the Gemara and Yuma is talking about internal to the sin. Internal to the sin, you still get suffering, but you'll be protected from external things. And the Lechem Shemayim's question as of right now is as follows. Is you're not getting protected from external things just because you do tshuva ma'isim tovim. Once we bring external things into the equation, you just made everything worse, because external things throw off the whole calculation of good gets good and bad gets bad. Because once we leave it up to the world, then it goes by rov, it goes by the mashchis, and once the mashchis is there, I don't care about your tshuva ma'isim tovim, as well as tzaddikim sometimes get punished for the entire generation. So you've just opened up a can of worms that make things so much more difficult by bringing in external problems into our discussion. That's what he's said so far. So now he's back to the original question. So how do you deal with this, what seems to be a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Gemara and Yuma? Our Mishnah says, tshuva ma'isim tovim protect from Yisurin, from Puranos. And the Gemara and Yuma seems to say that you still get your suffering through your sins. So the last paragraph on the page, yeah?
When you look at the reverse, you keep saying what the bad things that happen, external bad things. Why don't you look at the external good things that happen to a person that he doesn't deserve that? And consequently, you know, if you accept that, then you can understand why the bad things are external.
Okay, that's fair. It's not exactly what the Mishnah is talking about as of right now, but if you want to enter that into the equation, you're basically saying, there's a problem with what you're basically saying, that there's no rhyme or reason to anything. I mean, things
No. There are some factors, just like you have external negative.
There could be external bads, there could be external goods that you don't deserve. Okay. I hear it. Okay, so let's see the last paragraph here. Amnam. Yeshi tanu mako miravach bezras Hashem. So we're going to explain as follows. Shlo tachla kushik klav. There's no question. This question doesn't get off from the starting point. Right? So far we have ein lahakshos. We have v'yesh makshim. And now he says, shlo tachla kushik klav. The question doesn't even get started. Okay? V'huk tzas temal mefarshim shlo shiar. And he says, I don't even understand why nobody said this until this point. She'ein kol yisurin shabim kemosha ein kol abono shabim. So he says, not all punishments are the same, just like not all sins are the same. Atu kula b'chada machta machtenu. Our Mishnah just gives a blanket statement. So you have some nuance. There's not every punishment is the same. Not all sin is the same. Dika averos chamuros, they're serious averos. Delo sagilu hulo yisurin, that there's some averos that you're gonna have to get punished for. There's no way around it. Uvahachi mari hayadu perek basra in Yuma. What's the Gemara in Yuma talking about? What types of sins? Serious sins. Your chayiv kares and your chayiv misos based in. So for sins that your chayiv kares and your chayiv misos based in, guess what? There's no way around the fact that you're going to get some level of suffering for what you did. Right? That's ein yisur, and that's what we're saying. Ein yisur below avon. But... And then he says, and also, it's there could be mazid as well. We want to distinguish between whether I do something on purpose, do something by accident, intentional, unintentional. But he's going to keep going, and he's going to basically distinguish between, let's realize that we need some nuance here. The Gemara in Yuma is talking about very serious sins. There's no way around that. For lower level sins, for things that are just, again, we don't like to distinguish sins are sins, but there are distinctions. There are sins that are not as bad as other sins. So for sins that are not just unintentional, but even for if I did it intentionally, but it's not as bad as chayve krisos and misos basin. There's no, the punishment is not death for what I just did. Guess what? Do tshuva, do ma'asim tovim, and maybe you won't suffer. That's what our mission is talking about. So there are sins that you can't get around. You're going to suffer for. But there are, and that's the Gemara and Yuma. But there are sins, and our Mishnah is talking about, that if you do them, they're lower level sins, as it were, by doing tshuva and doing ma'asim tovim, you could get around any level of punishment for that, and you could get any level of suffering. So it's all internal, because remember, he doesn't want to bring external things into this equation, because that complicates everything. It's all about internal to your sin. For lower level sins, tshuva ma'asim tovim takes away suffering. For higher level sins, tshuva ma'asim tovim is good, do it, but there's still going to be some level of suffering about what you did. Right? And that's what, if you read it, further, that's what he says. That's what he says inside. But let's, for the sake of time, you can read it on your own. Flip the page. Okay, somebody give me a time check, please.
7:10.
Okay, so we still have a little bit of time. Look at source number 7. Right, so that's we're done with the heavy stuff. Everybody take a deep breath. Okay, take a drink of coffee. And let's lighten it up a little bit. So we're still talking about sin and punishment, but not as intense. Yeah.
So I think you're dancing around some other. We have so many different concepts here. There's so many different stuff.
Yeah.
Just one
thing
you
want
to be there. We know it's pleasures. Nobody told me now that some people are judged by
That's fine. So it could be that there's to some. Well, we're trying to bring in a bunch of them. We're not going to get every single theological problem in one discussion. But I think they do talk about a lot of the stuff you just mentioned inside. Read through the Lechem Shemayim carefully. I think he touches upon it in terms of that psychological difference in terms of how people accept or don't accept Yisurim. That's a fair point. It all goes into what the Lechem Shemayim basically said, was stop talking so broadly, let's get more nuanced. So yeah, you can get as nuanced as you possibly want, and that'll complicate the discussion, but we still have more Mishnayos that deal with this, so we'll save some for later. There's one Mishnah that's directly, not even hinted at, there's one Mishnah that directly talks about Tzadik Varalo and Rasha Vitovlo, so we'll deal with that more in detail. So don't worry, we'll get serious again. So now, source number 7. So the Kochvei Or is Rav Itzel Blaser, is one of the great Musar greats of the late 19th, early 20th century, writes as follows. Inyan Maisim Tovim. Masha Amar Razal. So getting into Maisim Tovim. Chazal say Tshuva Maisim Tovim are like a tryst, they're like a shield. So Nira, second line, Ki Maisim Tovim Einze Shmiras HaTorah B'Pashtas. So what does it mean, Maisim Tovim? So it can't mean Maisim Tovim means you're just keeping the Torah. That's too simple. Tshuva and keeping the Torah, that's going to protect you from Puranos. So Masu B'Pashtas Masu Uchov L'chol Adam, because that's an obligation on everybody. That's not just, oh, I sinned, so let me do Maisim Tovim. No, if it means doing Torah and mitzvos, then you got to do Torah and mitzvos regardless.
That's the baseline.
That's the baseline, right. So he says, what does it mean, Maisim Tovim? It means going above and beyond. It doesn't mean just doing mitzvos. It means being somebody who is a Baal Maisim Tovim. It's like that becomes part of your personality. So you go above and beyond, and you're always doing good things. Kamoshakasav Rebbe, Kama Gedola Masachia, Lechen Amru Shaini, Rabbi Cheskel, the Baal Maisim Hu. Right, there are people in the Gemara that are called Baal Maisim. It's that of course everybody does Chesed, everybody does mitzvos. We're going above and beyond that, and it's becoming part of your character internals that you are somebody who becomes a Maisim Tovim. V'chein Omer Rav L'Rafram, Emelon Masni Mili Mal Yasad Havi Avid Rav Huna, V'ayin Sham Ki HaMaisim Shechashav Sham Eina Mechlal Mitzvah Shodor Reis Dibran. We're not talking about biblical or rabbinic mitzvahs. Ki Makom Nid Davos Lev Mivak She Ratzon Hashem, V'ayim Yimsu B'sichlam L'chadesh Maisim Tovim. You look for new ways to do good deeds, not just I'm told this is the mitzvah, that's what I'm doing. I'm becoming such a person that my radar is out to look for creative ways to do Maisim Tovim, and that's what it means in terms of our mission of Tshuva Maisim Tovim. So don't think you're just getting away with this tris by doing low-level, simple, nice ideas here. You got to become somebody who's a Baal Maisim Tovim according to the Kochvei Or. Yeah?
This is for non-Jews as well, it seems. We're not talking about the Torah mitzvahs, but the idea of retraining oneself to always be, to use your phrase, the radar to do Maisim Tovim, and we're translating Maisim Tovim as outside of the strict translation of Torah, but for people in general to do Maisim Tovim. So I'm wondering, can we extrapolate, or is this also meant for people who are not Jewish?
Well, what's your question, right? So you take a step back and think about it. What's your question? Are we saying that everybody in the world should do nice things? Yes. Is that, that's the only question. In terms of how reward and punishment works in between Jews and non-Jews, I don't know. We're not going to get to that now. In terms of this message of do nice things, yeah, sure. Why not? Okay, now, last source number 8. It's a big source. Let's see if we can get through at least some of it. This is the Yavetz. The Yavetz talks here about, it's a brilliant piece, where he takes the concept of tris, of shield, and basically goes through the metaphor and compares how Tshuva and Maisim Tovim acts as a shield. So we're going to look at lessons from Tshuva and Maisim Tovim and then see how a shield really brings out the message as it comes to Tshuva Maisim Tovim. So look, skip the first paragraph for the sake of time and go to paragraph 2. Source number 8, you'll see there are 5 paragraphs. We're skipping the first. The next 4, is each one starts with the word Hashoresh. Hashoresh, 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 Hashoresh. So it's Echad, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i. He gives us in these 4 paragraphs 4 different ideas that are connected between Tshuva Maisim Tovim and the metaphor of the shield. So he says, number 1, Hashorash Echad, second paragraph, source number 8, Koach HaTshuva V'Kartif Arta, is to tell us about the power of tshuva and how beautiful and amazing it is. Shetatzil Ba'alea Berega Katan V'Totzianu Me'afelam L'Or Gadol Keheref Ayin. So the first message is that tshuva is so awesome and amazing that it could save you in a second. Split second, it could save you. V'zeki afa pishit chata kol yamav chata im atzumim uvisof yase tshuva yinatzo medina shal gehenam v'yemichat minachalei olam abba. That by just doing tshuva, even at the last second, right before you die, you do tshuva, you're forgiven. Again, does that take away every single thing you did, and now it's like a free pass? We're not getting into right now. Let's assume there's still punishment for what you've done to some extent, but the concept of tshuva does have a power and an impact, even at the last second, even in a split second. V'ra kama efligu chazal b'zeh, and as the famous Gemara says in Kiddushin, that if somebody says, harei at mikudesh asli al manat shani tzadik gamor, if somebody goes to a potential to get married, goes to a woman and says, you are, will you marry me on condition that I am a completely righteous person? So afilu hu rasha gamor mikudeshas. So even though you put a condition on this, the condition is that I'm righteous, and everybody knows that I'm not, the Gemara says that the Kedushin has taken, assuming she says yes, the Kedushin has taken place because maybe I did tshuva. Maybe I did tshuva in my heart. So you see the power of tshuva, that in a split second you could turn from Rasha to Tzaddik just by doing tshuva. And that's why our Mishnah compares tshuva to a shield. Shafilu yatza achanis miara oyev yuchal inatzel b'magen asher b'yado. Even if the spear has already left the hands of the enemy, you can still be protected by your shield with that split second. Vu omro kitris kafilu cherev munachas al tzavarum yasa tshuva v'rafalo. So even in the last second, even if you're about to die, if you will, just that shield could protect you, tshuva could protect you. Same idea. Number two, hashoresh hasheni, ichos hatshuva, in terms of the quality of the tshuva. Kitzricha shetia ne'arecha sofi avera kemosha amruzal. So number one is your tshuva has to be consonant with the level of sin that you've done. Avra adam al mitzos aseh vasa tshuva, eno zaz misham ad shemochlin lo, that you don't get for, you know, if it's a lower level sin, this is related to what the Lechem Shemayim spoke about. It's a lower level sin. You could be forgiven right away. Amitzus lota seva ase tshuva, hatshuva tol of Yom Kippur mechaper, al krisus amitzus based in tshuva, Yom Kippur tol, the asur m'rakin. So basically, the Mishnah is quoting this idea here that in terms of depending on the level of sin, whether it's a positive commandment, a negative commandment, a sin that requires death, etc., there's different levels of tshuva that are required. Vida says here in the fifth line in paragraph 3, Vida ki kefi mirios hanefesh v'hacharata tiyah malas hatshuva. And he says, not just in terms of the what type of sin you did, but also in terms of the quality of your tshuva. If you really, really feel bad about it, that's a better tshuva than if you don't feel so bad about it. By me feeling the pain and suffering and the guilt and the regret, that itself takes away some of the pain of Gehenna, of the punishment. All depends on the amount of sin. Okay, so that's what we're talking about in terms of tshuva and ma'asim tovim. What's the muscle from the shield? Hatshuva l'magen ki adua ki mekabel mikoach cherev lo yitzarech magen kokav chazak kimo kabel makas chanes kafi amaket tzarech amagen ad sheyitzarech lechomas nechoshes v'chein hatshuva ma'izim tovim kafi asher chata. So just like there's a difference in the level of tshuva that I need depending on what I did wrong, so too a shield requires a different level of strength depending on what weapon is being used against me. If I am going against a sword, the sword doesn't require as strong of a shield as it would require if I was going against a spear. So he's basically saying that the quality of the shield changes based on the attack that's coming at you. So same with the concept of tshuva, is that the quality of your tshuva should change depending on the sin, the level of sin that you committed previously. So that's number two. Number one is that it's a split second, it could save you, never give up hope. Number two is that it has to do with the quality. Number three, Vashorish Hashlishi. These contradict each other. Right, so you have to understand what does it mean that you're tzaddik gamor, and what exactly does that mean? But fair point, fair question. But they're both still true, right? On some level, you have to just figure out how. Look at source number three. Vashorash hashlishi. Source number eight. Source hashlishi. Fourth paragraph. Vashorash hashlishi shetzarech abal tshuva shetiyeh tshuvaso milev uminefesh lo minasafa ulachutz. So your tshuva has to be internal, sincere, authentic. Can't be just the external. V'zeshekatzav is vadu es avonam ves avon avosam b'ma'alam af ani elech imam b'keri. Right? If I don't do real sincere tshuva, then God's not going to really validate it or care about it. V'rabim shalu eichamar she'achre ha'tshuva yelech imam b'keri. How can it be that after tshuva, we did tshuva, God says he's going to walk with us in circumstance, meaning he's not going to care. V'yachsor v'avim b'galus, is going to put us in exile. The answer is, v'tshuva ki ha'tshuva, right? The tshuva is, the answer is, that the tshuva, meaning the repentance, sha'asu lo aysa milevu minefesh. If you do fake tshuva, if it's not internal and authentic and genuine, zesh amar b'malam asher ma'alu bi, ki ketovo v'sharetz b'yadu. You're not really doing it, so God doesn't give you credit for that tshuva. Ki lo inichu tov esam, v'lezeh lo ilu lehem tshuvasa. Right? So it has to be authentic. That's tshuva. Where do you see that from the shield? U'lezeh, why is this like a shield? If my shield is just shiny and glittery and looks, you know, strong on the outside, but on the inside it's weak, so it's not going to help me. If the armor doesn't look good, if it's not actually, it doesn't have good quality on the inside, then it's not going to protect me. So the same thing. If my actions are external when it comes to tshuva, and I look like I'm doing everything great and awesome, and look how firm I am, etc., but on the inside I didn't do that authentic, genuine tshuva and that change, then guess what? It's not going to work. Okay, so the tshuva, just like the shield, has to be toko kibaro, insides like the outsides, has to be strong and authentic and genuine in both levels. That's number three. And finally, number four. Hashor shervi kibala tshuva tzarech lehisazer ki ish melchama la'amod al nafsho. Somebody who's doing tshuva has to act like a soldier, that your life is in danger. Ki yitzro olul al ha'aver el ha'averos. Your yetzer hara wants to do sins. Ki shav lo ha'hergel teva sheni v'chol evarav kulam oivav v'hein ki mevakshe ra'aso. We have sin is second nature. All of our limbs and our body wants to do sin, wants to do bad. V'sichlo levado ba'ozrav. Our only chance to help us is to protect our seichel. V'lachin sarach shlo yitain sheina le'inav lefafav tenuma ad yichbosh oivav lefanav. You can never let your guard down. Bizar bal yashuv lekasla od ki az yechashev la'asham araba. And so he basically says, and he goes on and brings a bunch of different proofs, that when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, when it comes to sin, we always have to be on guard. We can never let our guard down. And then finishing it off, go to the last three lines, towards the end of the line. The comparison is, L'zeh omrim tshuva ma'asim tovim ketris, ki af al pishi malin et nafsho ayah yoser tov shlo lov oli dekach, komer v'shomeo li yishkon betach v'shanen mefach et ra. So you always have to be protected, but the best protection from war is, don't go to war, right? So if you're always protected, if you always have your guard up, then you could avoid going to battle in the first place. So it's the same thing when it comes to sin. Always have your guard up. Try to avoid the battles. You don't even need the shield so that you can protect yourself from the sin. We've seen this idea before. This is going to be a hard one. I don't know. This will be extra credit. We've seen this idea before. Can anybody remember where? Actually, you know what? I think you can do this.
You shouldn't go. I remember the story, and I can't remember the Mishnah. You shouldn't put yourself in a position where you might be tempted. It's a story of the guy who can walk two paths. One way is the long way, but the shorter way, but he passed by the pool with the girls.
Okay, so to avoid. Okay, so to avoid the battle with the Yetzer Hara for sure, but we've seen this even more directly. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Where have we seen, this is not the first time we have seen a metaphor as it relates to war. This is not the first time we've seen a metaphor as it relates to war. Dave! Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro, who is considered strong, somebody who is Kovesh, who conquers his Yetzer. And as the Pasuk, as we quoted the Pasuk in Mishlei there, that says that it is better to be strong against your Yetzer than it is to go to war. And back then, we saw a similar muscle, I believe it was from the Medrash Shmuel, who said that when it comes to war, you can never let your guard down. And the same applies when it comes to the Yetzer Hara. You can never let your guard down. This there's some psychological literature on this. It's called the restraint bias. I think I brought it up last time when we did this. But the restraint bias is that when I do something and I think that, let's say I think I've created the habit, right? So I'm supposed to exercise every day, or I'm supposed to eat healthily, and I think I've created the habit. And then by the time I let my guard down, right? Because now I'm good. I did it for a month already. So now I got this. And then what happens? Once you let your guard down, you lose the habit. So it's the same thing here. The purpose, the message of this Mishnah, according to the Yavetz, and the message of HaKovesh Es Yitzro, according to Medrash Shmuel, is against this restraint bias. You have to be aware that your guard can never be let down. It's a tiring thought and an exhausting thought, but it's the only true thought. The second you let your guard down, it's going to come back and bite you. Okay, so you always have to keep your guard up. That's what the shield's for, and that's what the Kovesh HaYitzro is for. Always be aware of the Yetzer Hara.